This is Donny V from Enough's Enough, and I give you the right to rock.
The right to rock. Texas, you're listening to the Right to Rock Podcast, the only heavy metal and hard rock show on the net made by fans for fans. And now, get ready for two guys who are so metal, they rust when they sweat. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. Still, she's on her knees, and Scotty doesn't know. Oh, Scotty doesn't know. Oh. So don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know. Fiona says she's out shopping, but she's on her knees. Stop it.
Back, man, and we are feeling a little electromagnetic tonight. We're not feeling death magnetic, we're feeling electromagnetic.
Electromagnetic. This is much more about science.
Science!
What are we watching, dude? This looks bitching.
We're watching
it looks weird.
Some classic AC/DC, the Family Jewels DVD that came out a few years ago that's compiled with a bunch of classic footage from the Bon Scott era and then a bunch of footage from the Brian Johnson era. We're watching the Bon Scott stuff right now. Where
this is a crazy live performance, dude. They're obviously really young. They look like they may even be on TV.
Some 75. TV.
This is from 1975, and Bon Scott is dressed like a schoolgirl. He's got a little skirt on and everything.
Hey, that's hot, guys.
What?
I'm just saying.
And he also, unfortunately, has... Oh, my God.
Oh, I didn't need
to see that at all.
Hey, Guinness, could you back that up?
No.
No, we can't back that up.
No, I mean, he's...
Look at him. He's trying to hit the remote from the booth. No, it's pretty disgusting. Bond's wearing a dress. He looks like Pippi Longstocking, I guess.
He fell back down on the floor, you know, like he fell over, and you could see he was wearing what looked like panties.
You think... You go downstairs and you're grabbing a tree trunk.
Exactly, dude. And he's wearing a Pippi Longstocking wig for some reason.
It's weird. And he's got a sledgehammer.
And of course he's got the ever-present cigarette in his hand. It's quite something.
It's
singing his
really
inimitable
weird
voice.
Looks like the guys are having fun, though.
Oh, totally. I bet they were loving life back then. I mean, clearly, what a lot of people don't realize, I think, and you have to really kind of see it. I wonder what the really, really first like album or two sounded like. Just like if you listen to ZZ Top, and I'm going somewhere with this. Just when you listen to ZZ Top, if you listen, I only listened to their albums before like 1980. You know, nothing after that. Like Eliminator and all that, fuck that. Their old shit was like almost pure blues, man.
Oh, yeah, it was
classic
awesome.
Classic blues. And I bet AC/DC, I mean, they're kind of bluesy now, but I bet back when they started, they were hardcore blues, dude.
It's like heavy blues. Oh, yeah. This is right there.
Yeah, this is total. That's almost like a Chuck Berry song, it could sound like. In fact, they probably played some Chuck Berry songs because at his heart, you can tell Angus is just a straight old school blues dude.
Oh yeah.
Even though he's an insouciant little boy with his little outfit jumping around, you know, he's a blues kid. He loves the blues.
Well, if you listen to AC/DC music, a lot of the faster tracks kind of have that 50s
like a shuffle
early rock vibe to it, with a more heavy edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you listen to what they're doing here, this is quite a bit different than what you would know AC/DC for.
They're like Thunderstruck or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people probably don't know AC/DC past Back in Black.
Right.
A lot of people, that was their first record. It's like, no, there was a bunch of killer shit with Bon Scott before that.
Oh, Bon Scott, yeah, had some great era stuff. Dirty D's Done Dirt Cheap and such.
I tell you what, let's open a beer. We got a good one tonight, we hope. Let's take something off the Highway to Hell record from the Bon Scott era. Let's play a little Night Prowler, man. Thinking about Richard Ramirez tonight. Night Prowler from Night Stalker. That's what he used to listen to before he went out and killed people.
No shit.
Felt a little bit twisted tonight, so let's check that out and we'll open a beer. Bluesy feel. You know, I picked a bluesier track. I didn't pick this, the heavier
every
thing.
Now and then I find that I do have to go blues, and when I really go blues, I go blues. Hardcore blues. Yeah, I got the old Muddy Waters, the John Lee Hooker, the Robert Johnson, some, you know, some really nice old school shit, and I just really enjoy listening to that kind of shit. But you can see, you hear some stuff, and it's like, that sounds like a lot of modern rock songs I know.
Yeah, yeah.
You can clearly see the influence. It's funny, even in this day and age, gosh, like friggin' 70, almost 80 years after those songs were recorded, those blues songs were written and recorded, I mean, we're still playing them.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, that's kind of wild.
Here we go.
No, don't herniate. Could tear the cork off. Oh, it just came out with nothing. Not even a pop.
Golly.
We've had
two shows in a row we've had duds.
These dud beers. What's going on there? Hopefully this will taste better than it's starting out as. I'm going to ready up the rating stuff. Get out these notes here.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking one of the Unibrow brews, which is one
Love
of the reasons
Unibrow.
I like it. Mm-hmm, a nice smell to it. This one is, like a lot of their beers, it's got a French name.
I'm going
to
tell you right now, there's not a lot of carbonation in this.
Yeah. And this is this one's called Quelque Chose, which means something in French, actually. So
cherries. Something
if
with
I
cherries.
Recall. Yeah, in fact, I'll read it right off the label. It says right here that this is a 50% dark ale, 50% brown ale, brewed with cherries. So it's kind of a mix.
Sure.
And, I've been wanting to. I think we've tried it before, and I just don't remember it.
Rags seems to
remember.
I think I told you, wifey and I tried this. We were both pretty geeked,
yeah.
And it came off tasting like cough syrup.
Well, all right, that would be bad.
Yeah, so I'm hoping for a better experience this time. And we got a bad batch. That happens with beer, you know, on occasion. You
it
may
can
get
happen.
A bad one. So.
Well, you know, the main enemy of beer, as any beer guy will tell you, is light. So that's why most your fancier beer bottles are brown, to help keep the light out, because light ruins a beer faster than anything else.
Oh, didn't know that.
It's what causes you to get skunky-tasting beer. It's light infiltration. Gets in there and fucks with the bouquet.
Let's cheers. Cheers.
Well, cheers, and let's try this off. Start with the tastability here.
Ooh, that's tart.
Ooh. Very
kinda
tart.
Kind of sour.
You can taste the sourness.
I don't really taste
from
the
cherries.
It's almost like more like a lambic.
It almost is. Not as harsh as a lambic. A lambic's almost like a Delaware Punch concentrate where you haven't mixed it with water yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's bitter as shit. Mm-hmm. And you can taste the flavor of the fruit, but it's like it's just kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Saying, bitch, I'm strawberries. Don't even question it.
That's not bad.
I can see where
it's better than I remember, though.
And I can see where you could say cough syrupy. It actually kind of has a cough syrupy sort of thing going.
Mm-hmm.
But this is clearly, when we get down to that part, the drinkability, where it's saying this is like a sipping beer.
It's sipping.
But
yeah,
for taste, let's go ahead and rate that real quick. What do you think? Maybe you're thinking another 2.5, huh?
2.5, yeah. Okay. What about you?
3. I might give it a 2.5.
Would
realistic.
You get 3?
I almost did, then I thought, nah, considering 4 is the highest, 3 is putting it in square in that good.
Yeah,
yeah, and I don't want to. I can't say that.
It's not great.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But I've had much better beers.
But I tell you what, it's probably, you know, we got to look at it is this a beer we're going to pick up again and definitely drink on the show?
I could see drinking it
maybe.
Again. But one
later
of those ones,
on
yeah, you don't do it often.
This would be good with a beer float with a little vanilla ice cream, just a plain old fashioned.
Ooh, like a cherry jubilee float
yeah,
or some shit.
Yeah.
Dude, you're talking some good language there. I like
and
that.
Hey, summer's just around the corner.
I think this is going to be a hot son of a bitch too this year.
Oh, yeah, Texas, guys. I don't know if you guys have been watching. I saw in like New York, this had a cold front. Guys, we're in the 90s already.
Oh, no shit. You wake up, and when you wake up in the morning and it's already 80 degrees and it's only, you know, May,
yeah.
You're like, fuck.
Well, I was listening to the Stern Show the other day, and they were bitching about how cold it was in New York City.
Oh, here, this ought to be good. It's always fun to listen to this shit.
And I was like, dude, you guys have no fucking idea.
Exactly.
And when we talked to Botzer a few shows back, he left Houston because it was too fucking hot for him. He goes, dude, I had to go back to California. I couldn't take the Houston heat.
Well, you know, I mean, everything's relative, right? But still, it's like, you know, what do you want to do? We live off the Gulf Coast, and if you live off the Gulf Coast, you know, you're going to get tropical weather, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and only it's only really bad during the winter. I mean, the summer rather, it gets really fucking hot, mixed with the humidity that's going to come in off the Gulf. So, right. Yeah, it's going to be kind of miserable, really. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, I found out a while back that something I didn't know, this was years ago, but when somebody told it to me, I was like, no. And then I thought about it, and I go, I guess you're right when you think about it. Houston was built on a swamp.
Wow.
Basically, all this area was like swamp area, and they built the city on a swamp, which is why we have such horrible ground shifting problems. You know, you have to really watch your foundation and shit here in Houston, because it'll shift on you like a son of a bitch.
Oh yeah, totally.
And a lot of people think, you know, are we on a fault line or something? It's like, no, dude, we're on a swamp. We built a city on top of a swamp.
We built.
And if you think about it, this is swamp weather, right? Just hot, yeah. Muggy all the fucking time. So anyway, enough bitching about that. Let's get back to our rating real quick. Finish off this beer, Quelque Chose, made by the Unibrow or Brew, however you say it, company over in Quebec, Canada. We put the taste at 2.5 horns mm-hmm. up. Drinkability, I went ahead and already called it at 2. You can't really run through this beer.
No.
You got to go slow with it.
Right.
And alcohol.
What's the alcohol?
Is
content?
Apparently 8% by volume, so it's. It doesn't feel like it is. You don't get the sense that it's real alcohol-y. You know what I mean?
True.
What hits you more is the fruit.
Yeah.
That sour cherry action really hits you. So,
alcohol,
I would say 2. I don't think it's that bad. I don't feel it. Maybe 2.5?
Yeah, that's true. True, I'll buy that.
So, I guess the overall would be, like a 2, really.
You got hammered.
It did, and I'm okay with that. I mean, it's not like I had a lot invested in the beer. I just honestly couldn't remember when we had it, and I thought, you know, hey, I want to try all the Unibrow beers because they just make such great beer.
Sure.
So I would not be surprised if I came across one that I hadn't had of their line that would probably be worth my time to try it. That's the way I feel about it. It is really cool seeing all these old AC/DC videos, man. You can see how old
they
are.
Hey, now you get where Dokken got the idea for their, what was off the Under Lock and Key record?
Yeah.
How was that song they did?
Yeah, it was like, and he takes a phone call apparently in the middle of the song.
Yeah, no shit.
Hey, baby, what's going on?
Oh, now it's going to kill me. I'm going to be bugging the shit out of
me. Bon Scott standing around with the
the bagpipes
and all of his tattoos. This is great. But anyway, you know, it makes you wonder about those old bands. As I'm getting older, I'm 41. We've said it before. We're the older crowd. But what's nice is we're at that nice point where we were young enough to have been there for those badass concerts, the 80s, those bands of the 80s, as they came into fruition, right? I mean, as they came out of nowhere, mm-hmm. Metallica and Testament,
right.
A whole genre or subgenre of music, of rock music, not heavy metal, but thrash metal, mm-hmm. speed metal, whatever you want to call it, the beginning of the American side of all that shit all happened before our eyes, growing right. up. We were young enough to have been there for that, or old enough to have been there back then, and be here in the middle and still appreciate it, and we can still listen to new metal music and dig that.
Oh, yeah,
so we're not like old fogies. Like my grandparents, I couldn't have gotten them into any of the music I was listening to as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I could have gone to Grandpa and said, Grandpa, check out this album. But, you know, your kids could bring you a metal album and say, what do you think, Pops? And you'd be able to give them a pretty good assessment.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not like I don't know what that noise is. It's like, bitch, I love noise. Crank it up, you know? I mean, let's hear what you got, you know? And we know what we're doing. And I think we're going to be the first group of old people, like, you know, retirement home age people with our high-waisted pants or whatever and everything. But we'll all be listening to fucking, you know, Testament and shit and Megadeth and all this badass music. We're not like old fogies, like the normal old fogies, right?
Well, yeah, true. And you look at it, you know, if you look at bands out there today, like AC/DC, those dudes are in their 60s now.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The bands we listen to that were those bands, they're old as shit.
And
still rocking.
Oh, yeah, totally. And you look at a band like the Scorpions that said, you know what, we're entering in our 60s. We've been doing this for 30, 40 years. We're done.
Peace out.
But we're going to do a 5-year tour.
So you guys can get used to the fact that we're leaving.
I think it's 3 years, sorry. We're going to do a 3-year tour, and then we're done. You know, we just gave you our last record, which is called Sting in the Tail, which was supposed to be kind of a return to form. I don't think they hit the mark. I think
a few bands are able to pull it off.
I'll tell you what, we'll give you a taste. I guess trying to think what the best track on this record is. This record, really, I was wanting to love it, but it hasn't quite grasped me. Another one of those. I listened to the shit out of it, but it didn't, never got it,
didn't
man.
Hit you. Didn't grab you right away.
Well, I tell you what, we'll check out something new from that record. It's called Raised on Rock. Here's some brand new Scorpions. They're trying to recapture the glory days of Scorpions. I don't think they did it. I think I don't know what their intentions were. I know that the thing that pisses me off about it, this whole situation.
I see how this is getting darker and darker. The thing that pisses me off about it.
Well, you know, they're billing, I guess this tour is the Blackout tour and this and that. And, you know, so I'm thinking, before I get this record, I'm thinking, okay, Love at First Sting, Blackout. I'm going to get a combo of those two styles.
Right.
Not to say, hey, recreate all that music, but if you're going to go out and you're going to be done, dude, fucking, I don't care. Do what you got to do.
Doors.
Give me a great fucking record and say, Scorpions, okay, you're like when Jordan left basketball. You left on top. You know,
that's a classy win.
And that's what they say they want to do. So we want to leave or on the top of our game.
Well,
if you go see the Scorpions live, they fucking rock. They're awesome live.
And what I'm thinking, too, is they're not going to do like other bands, like, say, Kiss, for instance, where it's like, all right, we're doing it one last time, one go around. And it's like, then next year, one last time, one go around. Wait a couple years, one last time, one go around. You know, it's like, look. I have a feeling they're going to say, look, we told you we were leaving. We told you that was our last album, studio album. Then we told you we're going to tour for about 3 years and we're going to cut it out.
We're done.
You had a chance in those 3 years, you know. We said a nice long goodbye. Now that we're done, when we say we're done, we're fucking done.
Yeah.
You know? We got money. We're okay. We don't need this gig. Yeah, we don't need this gig anymore. You know? We're ready to enjoy the shit out of our retirement. Think about it, you know. They're at retirement age and they're fucking rich and they're world famous. What's not to love?
You know, another great thing about them, though, is this tour they're doing right now. They've got all these killer bands on it. Like I said earlier, you know, Rat's opening up for them for a certain leg of the U.S. tour.
Mm-hmm.
But guess who's opening up for them in Europe? Fucking Ed Guy, man.
Shit?
Yeah, fucking Ed Guy,
awesome.
Dude.
Awesome.
How awesome is that?
That's totally fucking awesome.
I tell you what, you want to play some Ed Guy?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Ed Guy had a record that came out here, I guess a year or so ago, called Tinnitus Sanctus.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of cool because it's like a double record, man. With a live show, of course, but a one record, all brand new studio material, and then you get a live show. And Tobias Sammet does so much stuff with his like Avantasia stuff, so he's kind of got two gigs going on at one time, but I don't think the Avantasia stuff, there's so many people involved, there's no way that I don't believe they could tour with that unless he just kind of did it, you know, a little bit different that way. But tell you what, let's play a track off this Tinnitus Sanctus record. Let's play The Pride of Creation. Check it out.
Nice.
But I will give it to the Scorpions. I mean, you know, they're going out on top of their game.
Yeah.
Live.
Right.
Top of their game, writing good studio material. I don't know. You know, maybe they, you know, reached that plateau a while back. You know, and, you know, this is an interesting topic, and I think we've touched on this a while back, was if you look at all the bands that we love, like an AC/DC. Mm-hmm. You know, if AC/DC went away in a year or so, you know, who's going to carry that torch? A lot of people are saying Airborne, because Airborne's got that AC/DC style, and they got the same attitude. If you heard our interview that we did with Joel O'Keefe a few shows back, they got that same just attitude of early AC/DC, you know? Mm-hmm. And granted, we didn't know the AC/DC guys, but everything you read, actually kind of, I don't know how universal Half Price Books is, but I went to Half Price Books and I got this, it's like a kind of a history of articles from Kerrang, all compiled in this book.
That's awesome.
And it was $2.
Oh, sweet.
So I bought it, I haven't read it yet, but I was like, how fucking cool. And it goes from early articles they did with the band before, when Bon was in the band, to when Bon died, to when Brian Johnson took over. You know what I mean?
Oh, cool.
I fucking love this song.
Oh, fuck you, Jailbreak?
Yeah. But a cool deal. Cool deal. But, you know, does Airborne take the torch? I like Airborne. I don't know if, you know, their songs are to the AC/DC level yet. They got some good tunes.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, if you look back at AC/DC's early career, did they have? They had shit that knocked your socks off. But it took a while before they, you know, each record they grew and grew and grew.
Oh, sure, sure.
Well, that'd be awesome if Airborne was that band.
Oh, totally. Yeah, but I think for realistically too, what I think for a lot of bands is, when a band comes out and starts making an album, they don't necessarily have to already be masters of everything they do, right?
Right.
I think people kind of recognize this is sort of a work in progress. You know? So, I mean, look at the U2. You know the famous story about U2 that... Oh, sweet, this is the book. You know the famous story about U2 that literally, while the band was getting signed, if I'm not mistaken, or already playing, and people, as they were a band called U2, and people were starting to listen to them. I don't remember if they had been signed yet, but maybe playing in clubs, I don't know. The Edge was still learning to play the guitar. So he actually learned while the band was... You know, it's like they already said, we want to be a band. None of us know how to play shit, you know, maybe, you know, like when I was in high school, we were like that. Me and my friend said, let's start a band. Neither one of us knew the fuck about playing guitar or anything. But it's like, all right, well, let's start writing songs, dude. And then on the side, we try to learn the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, that's like kind of like, you get this feeling, it was that kind of a raw, kind of crazy feeling.
Oh, that's crazy.
I mean, they had something, obviously, or they wouldn't be who they are today.
Right.
But the point is, they had enough, even starting out, and that they hadn't hit their peak yet.
Yeah,
you know? Who comes out and peaks on the first album, right?
I mean, right. I mean, it happens, but it's rare.
But you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Because how many albums, if you look, let's say a band, a badass band, has 10 albums out, kind of like Metallica, I guess. No one ever says, like, oh, the first album was the shit, and then everything after that was okay, but it kind of declined. No. Usually, the first album's like, cool, because it's different. That's what gets people interested.
Right.
Second album, better, or it fails. There's that sophomore jinx. But a really talented band. His next album's better. And then, like, that third album or fourth is usually where it's like, bam, they hit it. You know what I mean? And then after that, maybe it's just kind of a wave. It kind of goes up and down, depending on how long they're able to maintain that level of quality.
But you know, a lot of bands in the, say, 80s, like, their debut records were fucking the shit. If you look at Winger's first record, that was a great record.
That's a good point.
And if you look at Dawkins' first record, Breaking the Chains was okay.
Yeah.
But when they got to Tooth and Nail, the second record,
right,
they did well. It was a great record. Then they went down to Lock and Key. It was even better. And then Back for the Attack. And and then I think they kind of peaked there. If you look at U2, I think they peaked out probably on the Joshua Tree. And after that, everything to me has been fairly downhill.
Yeah.
They've had their ups and downs where there's a good song here and there.
Sure.
But if you look at solid records, The Unforgettable Fire was awesome.
Yeah.
And then they did that. And right after that, did the Joshua Tree, which was fucking amazing. And after that, it's like, let's change your style.
Yeah.
And they fucked up, in my opinion.
Possibly.
I mean, you still have a huge following,
Right. My point was simply being that, you know, I wouldn't go by, you hear their first album from a band and just go, gosh, I don't know if this band's going to make it. You know what I mean? It's like, they're going to get better.
Right.
Most likely. And then after that, well, you know, we'll see. But AC/DC is one of those rare cases where, you know, they came out, their old stuff was probably really cool to listen to, but you could probably hear them over time just develop into this great band that they are today.
Oh, yeah. Well, the climate's a lot different, too. I mean, Kiss was like that, too, but I mean, I love that first Kiss record. But if you think about it, bands back in the day, they were able, record labels took more of a chance on bands. And look at that, look at it now. It's all fucking digital downloads.
Good point.
People stealing the music off the internet. So labels are less, they're more reluctant to invest a lot of money in a
band. Take a chance
and say,
on an unknown
okay,
quantity.
I think these guys are going to make it. Let's keep on going, keep on going, keep on going.
It's definitely, I think the record business is definitely a different animal than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Digital changed everything. And so the way everybody, not just the artists, but also the record company, people on both sides, the way they approach it is different. Well, hell, even the way the audience approaches music now is different, you know?
Well, hey, I got a little bit of metal news I want to mention to you, and I like where we're going with this topic, because we are talking about kind of iconic bands. Who's going to get the torch? Who's going to be able to take these bands' places when they're gone? There's really not a lot of guys out there, but another band that's iconic, and I guess in the last 10, 15 years, they've been touring again, even though the main guy's dead. And it's Thin Lizzy. We talk about Thin Lizzy on the show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, let's play a track from Thin Lizzy. It's been a while. Let's play something off a Renegade record. Let's play Hollywood, Down on Your Luck. And this really kind of bummed me out, and not that I've had a chance to see them, but dude, Sykes is out of Thin Lizzy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What happened?
I don't know. They got Scott Gorham. I'll have to look this up and give you a little bit more information, but it's Scott Gorham, and it's
Mendoza?
Yeah, Mendoza's in the band. In this
Mendoza?
Let's see. Who did I? Scott Gorham, Brian Downey, one of the original guys.
Cool.
Scott Gorham, I'm going to get you the whole lineup here. But they've got this guy from the Almighty. Playing, what's he doing? I think he's the guy singing for him now.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, guys, if this turns into music here in a second, I apologize. I'm doing my research here, but I'm trying to get you the actual lineup. But I believe this just got released here within the last few days. That they're, God, their site's a pain in the ass. They're fucking, here we go. Well, they got Sykes on the site still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on the news section here.
Yes.
But apparently, he is Gonzo.
Yeah, I'm looking at the members. It says here Ricky Warwick, Scott Gorham, Vivian Campbell,
Marco. Yeah, Vivian Campbell. I thought that was interesting.
Marco Mendoza, Darren Wharton, and Brian Downey. Wow. Well, Campbell, I think, could probably respectably fill in, assuming his chops are still up. So he certainly wouldn't develop in them with Def Leppard. But he could certainly otherwise fill in for John Sykes, I think. Well, obviously, he won't have the same, you know, sound, but he could play the licks, right?
Not
that Sykes shredded or anything with Lizzy.
Oh, dude. Fucking Sykes shredded, dude.
I mean, for that day, yeah. But it's not like shredding like he would do now, like Blue Murder. That was some shredding.
Well, I'm wondering why John Sykes left then, Lizzy. And I'm looking at something here from Classic Rock Magazine from back in 09. Maybe we're way behind the times. But it says 09, John Sykes leaves Thin Lizzy. Thin Lizzy have parted ways with guitarist, vocalist John Sykes. It's been a very long time of late for myself and band. Firstly, with drummer Tommy Aldridge, injury. Now the subsequent decision for John and the rest of the group to go their separate ways. Wow. So I didn't know that. I mean, this is while we were late to the table.
Oh, well, I mean, these things happen. I mean, it's hard to keep up with shit the way things go. And I didn't even realize Thin Lizzy had anything going on with them. I figured they were doing their touring every now and then, but...
But if...
I mean, they're not putting out albums or nothing, right? I mean,
no,
so
they're just touring.
It's just basically trying to, you know...
I think they played here with... They opened for Alice Cooper last time Alice Cooper was here. But that's the last I've kind of heard of them. And I'm looking on Sykes' site right now, and there's really no information on what the guy's doing. Interesting. Pretty bumps me out, I gotta say. I'm sad to see that John's out of the band. But I guess on a side note, maybe this is bigger, better things for John to come back and do some stuff.
Possibly so.
With Blue Murder or even his solo stuff. How about some Blue Murder, man? Genghis, is there a track off that first Blue Murder record you'd like to jam to?
Hell yeah, dude. About a little, I'm thinking Ptolemy.
Oh, I fucking love Ptolemy.
It's a big long ass song, is it?
Fuck yeah. So, John, if you're out there, we're going to give you a shout-out. Here's our official Right to Rock shout-out. It's been a long time.
No shit.
This is an official Right to Rock
shout-out! Fuck yeah, dude. John, or anybody that knows John Sykes, tell him about us and tell him we want him on our show. We want to talk, find out what happened, see why it took us a year to figure it out. And
he's just such a pivotal dude. He's been in so many huge bands. I mean, Whitesnake, Blue Murder, Thin Lizzy, Tigers of Pantang, you know, going back. I mean, he's been in a lot of big bands that are, you know, kind of seminal bands for that sort of English rock sound. I won't say he's not new wave of British heavy metal, but definitely one of those English bands that kind of shaped rock and roll at that time.
Sure.
Very influential.
Well, talking about icons, there's an icon out there that's got a brand new record that's going to be coming out here, I guess, in a month or so, and that's Ozzy. And he's got our boy Guess G on guitars. And Genghis, have you heard the new track? Scream For Me.
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
I think it's pretty good.
Doesn't it kind of have a classic Ozzy feel to it?
It actually does, and I'm betting that's because that's probably one of his edicts, you know, when Homeboy came in, Gus G, I'm sure he told him, he said, okay, this is what I want, you know, it's like, it's cool having you here, but, you know, the last guy that was here, you know, I think he kind of got away from me as far as the songwriting, and I want this to come back to more of the sound I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, I mean, I never read that's what he said, but I have a feeling that's sort of the feeling you get, that the whole reason for Zakk Wylde being out of the band was because Ozzy was apparently dissatisfied with the music and the direction it had gone. I think he felt like everything sounded like just another Black Label Society album. And I can see the similarity, you know, you listen to Black Label Society, you're like, yeah, this sounds like it could be Ozzy sort of rejects or something. It's a bad word to say because I really like Black Label Society and his music. I mean, I think it's good stuff. It's basic Zakk Wylde guitar work. I mean his songwriting. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess you can see, it's like, wait a minute, if that's what he sounds like when he's writing songs, and when you listen to Ozzy's stuff and it kind of sounds like that, it makes me think Zach's writing all of Ozzy's music.
I think he did.
I think that's probably it, because I mean, I don't know Ozzy to be a musician per se. He's a singer. He's a showman. That's fine.
I think he writes lyrics.
Well, yeah, but I never count that. And I know that might be real snobby of me. But I think, you know, lyrics are just, I mean, I can't tell you half the lyrics. I know, it's just Angus is going nuts. And I can't tell you the lyrics of half of any of Ozzy's songs. And if I did, I'm sure it wasn't anything deep and meaningful. It was just basic rock and roll lyrics, which is fine. That's cool. I mean, you have to sing something. But I've never been like come away from one of those songs and going, wow, you're really making me think, Ozzy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it fills the space. So that's why I say the real talent lies in who made all that music. What was Zach? Zach wrote. Now, I bet Ozzy, what he'll do is come in and contribute melodies. I could see Ozzy come in and saying, I got these songs, these people, you know, and then Zach can be like, oh, okay, I can do a rhythm like that.
Right.
And then, you know what I mean? And I'm betting that, and I bet the similar thing probably happened. No, probably not. I was going to say with David Lee Roth and Van Halen, but I bet not, because I have a feeling Van Halen probably felt like, fuck you, Dave, you don't tell me how to write music, I'll write the music, you just sing your song.
Yeah.
That's probably more realistic.
Yeah, I think you just saw my mouth drop.
I did. I was like, what is going on with it?
Oh, it's okay. I thought it was something that it's not. I'm looking up a little Ozzy here, and there's a brand new DVD coming out, and it's the Ozzy Osbourne Blizzard of Oz Diary of a Madman Tour 1982 DVD.
Oh, nice.
I was thinking Randy Rhoads.
Yeah, I can understand.
So I saw that it was Speak of the Devil. It's the one that he did with the Brad Gillis. So,
well, you know, I do want to mention, I'm excited about, just to, if we can veer off a little bit, speaking of iconic bands, at least, there's a bit of a segue. And speaking of DVDs or stuff coming out to watch, I'm really jazzed about seeing this new movie about Rush's career. Rush, Beyond the Lighted Stage. It's coming out in June. And I plan to go see it at the theater because that's a cool way to see it.
Oh, yeah, you can't just have a date.
Yeah, they're showing nearby where I live, so I'm going to go check them out. And
we got a date, right?
Yeah. Does it make you happy? You keep asking me that.
I'm kind of pissed at you, Genghis. What? What were you pissed at?
Yeah, let's hear it. I'm so excited to hear this.
Well, I'm a little jealous is all I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
It's like, John, Genghis and I are friends, so we're going to go see this movie together.
You guys didn't invite me. I'll butter your fucking popcorn.
That's why we didn't. Now, the bottom line is, what's cool about this movie is that it was directed by Sam Dunn and Scott McFay, I think is his name, the two guys that did the Iron Maiden movie, Flight 66.
Headbangers Metal Journey.
Headbangers Journey, or what is it, Metal Headbangers
Journey? I think it's Headbangers Journey, yeah.
Right, it's a classic freaking movie.
Oh, it's awesome.
I mean, it didn't even come out that long ago, and it's already a classic as far as telling the tale of metal music.
Mm-hmm.
He was so thorough in his research, that's what stuck with me. I was like, this guy really did his fucking homework. And he just followed these dudes around, and just the earnestness of his mission, you know, was enough to get all these big shot, you know, metal icons to talk to him. Because otherwise, it'd be like, who the fuck's this guy? You know, why are we talking to you? Some dude with a camera. So, but now he does this shit all the time. And I'm thinking he took that high powered research brain of his and pulled that on one of the greatest bands ever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got the research here. Rush is one of the Mock's most influential bands. Ranking third for most consecutive gold or platinum studio albums after the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. I had no idea. I mean, I know they've been around forever and everybody loves them. Who the hell doesn't like Rush?
Well, hey guys, this is Gene Simmons from Kiss. I have to say that Kiss is the number one in platinum and gold selling records. So your data is not true. It's not factual.
It didn't come out of the Gene Simmons Encyclopedia Britannica.
I have to object because I'm Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Didn't know Gene was going to be here tonight.
I just like that once he was finished saying, he just turned around and walked out. Didn't even bother to hear a response.
That's good. It's good.
He just says his piece and leaves.
Yeah.
If there's anything regarding his money, he shows up.
Well, just to talk about Gene real quick. Not him specifically, but his kid cannot fucking sing.
Oh,
that's
really
all I'm saying.
I know that he's been trying to get him in a band or whatever.
Well, he's on the new Bruce Kulick record, and I think Bruce is a favorite to Gene. And they did this thing on Family Jewels where Gene's kid sings with Bruce in the Cat Club or something in Hollywood.
Oh, no.
Home sounds like shit, man.
Oh, wow.
It's embarrassing how bad the kid sucks.
That's too bad.
And Bruce is like, he's good, but...
What else is he going to say?
He and Gene are boys. I mean, what are you going to say?
He's like, hey, boy. He's basically...
I owed you a favor.
It's like,
I
never
didn't
go
want
against
him
the
to
family.
Play here. I got to do what I got to do.
Well, in any case, I'm just jazzed about this movie. I mean,
oh, yeah. Let's play some Rush. What do you want to play?
Fuck, man. I don't know, dude. It's hard to say. I know that one of my all-time favorites is...
Something else, Snakes and Arrows.
That's the thing, you know. The problem with Rush is that they are a fantastic band, but they haven't kept that level of awesomeness just constantly throughout their career. They've come about as close as, you know, any band who's been around that long can do. You know what I mean? I would venture to say there's more really great listenable songs on the albums that Rush has put out over the length of their career compared to maybe Aerosmith or compared to...
I am Jack.
Or the Stones, or Rolling Stones. I mean, the Stones, people are going to be like, who are you, fucking crazy? They're legends. And I'm like, well, you know, justifiably, Rush are legends too, man.
Oh, yeah, they are.
You can't
they
just
are.
Discount them because they're not as famous. They're really kind of, they call themselves the world's biggest cult band. You know, it's like, we're huge, we're massive everywhere, but we're still, I mean, they don't get any, they're always overlooked by the critics and by, well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, it's like, wait a minute, how are you guys ignoring these people? These guys are fucking amazing. They're rough.
I'll tell you what, let's play something. What do you want to play? Or are you stumped?
I'm totally stumped. This is beer's
killing. Or we'll play something off Counterparts.
That's good.
Their last really just bad... I mean, Test for Echo wasn't bad. I think Counterparts was probably the last great record Rush has done.
Okay.
Would you buy that?
I'm a bigger fan of their stuff, I think, than you are. I mean, I like Test for Echo a lot. There's some really
over
great
Counterparts?
Stuff. Over Counterparts? I don't know if I like it. Over it. I might say it as much as. I might put it on the same level, actually.
Well, let's put something off Test for Echo.
Oh, really? Okay. How about Rituality?
Let's do it.
Like the shipwreck. On an unknown sea, clinging to the wreckage of a lost ship fantasy. I'm a castaway stranded in a desolate land.
Looking here too, the DVD goes on sale June 29th.
No shit.
So yeah, so here in a month. But I think it's gonna be cool because wifey said, "Why don't you just buy the DVD?" I was like, "I want to see it in the theater. I think it's gonna be cool to see it in the theater."
Oh yeah, with the big sound system and everything. It's cranking your stereo. Like,
oh fuck yeah,
let's do this.
The place we're gonna go is like it's called a Studio Movie Grill. I think they're all over the U.S.
So we'll be there with some beers.
Eat, have beers,
have a burger and beers. Yeah, it'll be just like being at the studio.
Exactly. So, yeah, the DVD's only $15 on CD Universe, so...
Holy crap.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, there's no reason not to
I don't
that.
See Blu-ray yet.
I was going to say, if it comes out on Blu-ray, I like to hold for Blu-ray these days. I've gotten spoiled on my Blu-ray.
Exactly.
In fact, I just picked up a new one, you know, like $90 refurbished, and it's got the Netflix streaming, the YouTube built into it, so...
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, I'm grabbing that. I mean, it's great how the prices have finally come down on all this technology. Now you can get a nice big screen TV and shit for relatively reasonable prices.
You can't beat that, dude. You can't beat that.
Well, you know, it's all about trying to recreate that experience. I like the live experience, but if I could have it sitting on my couch in the house, you know, fuck yeah. Why not? You don't have to deal with all the idiots around you and, you know, the smell of piss in the air. All the other bad things about concerts.
Yeah.
And me, I'm short, dude. I mean, it doesn't take much for some dudes in my way, and I can't see shit.
Yeah, I know. I either one of us. We're not the tallest guys in the world. But not bad. Well, Genghis, tell you what, it's time, getting time to wrap things up here.
Uh-huh.
Time for a classic of the show. Didn't know if you had anything in mind this week.
You know, if I did, I would probably play some Narnia.
Narnia?
Yeah. Do you remember Narnia?
Yeah.
For back in the day, more of a neoclassical band, and they're actually a Christian band.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know it. I mean, the lyrics, yeah, if you're like, wait a minute, they're doing a lot of things about lambs and lions and blood of the lamb. And he's like, okay, that kind of sounds like Christian shit. It's like, that's fine. Except for that, they're exactly like any other neoclassical band, and they're actually really good, and they just keep pumping out albums. Nothing stops them, and I'm like, well, these guys are still kicking it.
They've been around for a while.
Yeah, and I think each album I've listened to, it's like, it's just as good as the one before it. Which means, you know, I guess what I'm saying is they all sound the same, but, you know, if you dig that kind of sound, which I do, you know, they knock it out of the park. So, how about maybe a little Narnia with Children of the Blood Red Cross?
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
totally good. It just, you know, like I say, find something you like and just jam to it. Don't worry about if somebody else likes it or fucking not, you know. I got so hung up on that in high school, and you can't help it. The peer pressure is enormous, and you're still trying to figure out who you are, but there's such pressure to, like, oh, let's do what everybody else does so we won't get ostracized. It's like, you know what? Fuck ostracized, dude. You know what I mean? I like this music, and I'm not going to have the rest of the world tell me that I can't like it just because they don't like it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think we both, over the years, have really stuck to our guns in that regard, where, you know, we don't really succumb to the norm and what's popular and stuff like that, because, you know, we like a kind of music that is, I don't know if it's so much underground, but
metal has always been, certainly never gotten... It got mainstream, yeah, back in its heyday, like late 80s, early 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it's not like it was totally accepted. It was like it was just the flavor of the month. It was the fad at the time.
Right.
But after the fad died away, the people that were all on that fad bandwagon, they left too. They right. weren't still buying metal albums. We've been buying them all along.
True. You know,
we never left the genre. We just dug the music. We just happened to be there when it got big. But we were listening to it before, and we've been listening to it after. The thing is, as funny as my on my Facebook, I hate having to be on Facebook, but you know, like South Park.
I hear
Park.
People call that gay book.
No, but like South Park, you know, I was like Stan. I got pulled into the shit.
Mm-hmm.
So there I am doing this stuff, and somebody sends me this thing where it's your iPod shuffle share. In other words, turn on your iPod, hit shuffle all songs, and tell us the first 25 songs, no matter what they are. Don't cheat, don't edit.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and of course my list looked like I was a schizophrenic. You know, I've got comedy bits coming on there. You
sure.
know? I've got classical music. I've got Christmas music because my entire MP3 collection's on there. I've got the 160 gigabyte iPod, so I got everything on there. And I was just like, I know this shit looks weird. You know, I know it may look like I'm not very metal because I was talking to some metal friends.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but I assure you, you know, I do listen to plenty of shit. You know, but, you know, my shuffle, I mean, I listen to what appeals to me. I don't give a shit what genre it is.
Sure.
So, you know, metal's just one part of my music listening, but fucking stuck with it for 20-something years,
fuck
dude, because
yeah.
I wouldn't still be here if I didn't still fucking dig it.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, man. And it's in my blood, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I tell you what, we got our classic out of the way. Let's get along with our picks of the week, and... I tell you what, I'll go first.
Sure.
I'm going to go with a band called Crazy Licks. They got a brand new record called New Religion out. These guys are kind of throwback to the classic hard rock styles of the 80s and early 90s. Let's check out a track called Children of the Cross by Crazy Licks.
Wow, man. Where did you say these guys are from?
I didn't say. I don't know if they're European or if they're a U.S. band.
Well, they got that totally old school cover, man. I mean, it looks like it was pulled out of the 80s, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, we can do a little research and find out exactly where these guys are from. But I got their... there's a really cool mail order site called... NEH Records on this on the web that you guys should check out, because the guys are really cool. They're actually Swedish. It's a Swedish hard rock band.
Okay.
A lot of great music coming out of Sweden. So.
Oh, all that Scandinavian shit, dude. I mean, it's like, these guys just don't stop fucking rocking. What's their deal?
Actually, I think Cat Daddy had kind of turned me on to them at one point, or said, dude, you got to check them out. I didn't check them out until here recently, and I really dig them. So thank you, Cat Daddy. I finally caught on. It took me a little while. He told me about them about a year ago. So, yeah, Cat Daddy's good about that kind of shit. So
that's the thing. He's like you. I mean, you guys keep up to the minute on new music, and if one of you misses it, the other surely catches it. So between you two, we've got new music covered, I think, pretty well. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I think we're in pretty good shape there.
Because I'm slower. I mean, I like I say, if I like something, I like it. But it takes me a while to get to it. I'm real slow about getting to shit. I don't want to feel rushed about it because I want to enjoy it because it's music. It's not, I don't want it to be a job.
Right.
So I get to it when I get to it. But when I get to it and I like something, I mean, I'll literally hit the fucking repeat on a song. I was jamming to that all day for, like, the last couple of days. I've been in this real kick of Mr. Big's album, Actual Size.
Oh, nice.
And I've been jamming to it. I mean, I like Suffocation. That was my first favorite song. Now I discover it. See, I move a song at a time. Now I discovered Lost in America. I fucking love that song.
That's a great tune.
That's a killer fucking Mr. Big style song. And I'm like, this is what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. So I just keep, I've been repeating that shit all day long because I'm crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like to listen to new shit whenever you the Cat Daddy say, hey, check this shit out. Trust me, you're going to like it.
Sure.
And I'll fucking listen.
So, what's your pick of the week, Genghis?
Dude, I'm thinking a little Lacuna Coil, don't you think?
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is supposed to be a pretty good album. I haven't finished listening to it completely, but I think Spellbound is a pretty good track.
Yeah, let's check it out, man.
I'm gonna get some people interested in what we got here. Huge into Lacuna Coil.
They never disappoint. I would say my only gripe on the new record is that I think they're moving too much towards that commercial vibe.
You think so?
And losing a little bit of their edge. It's still a good record, still good songs, but
I think the only CD out of theirs I have is Karma Code. I think it was.
Karma Code's a great record.
Yeah, it's a good album. So I think that's when you were like, dude, check these dudes out. And I was like, okay, and I was like, okay, I dig these. They're in the rotation.
But yeah, I think they need to worry less about trying to really break it in America and just focus on what they do best. You know?
Right, because they've been around for a long time.
Oh yeah, they've been around for a while now. I'm trying to think.
Just steadily putting out albums, building a following.
Yeah, I saw them on Ozfest a few years ago, and they were really cool. Really cool live too. So good band. Well, anyway, guys, I guess it's time for us to wrap it up. Another show in the can.
Wow.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun, as usual. Really dug watching this AC/DC.
This is an amazing video. I need to pick this up.
Really cool. Vintage shit, man.
Oh, yeah, it's all
I've never seen a lot of this shit before.
I don't think we haven't even hit any Brian Johnson. This has all just been Bon Scott stuff.
Although this disc 2 of the DVD is Brian Johnson.
Yeah. Nice. What a nice retrospective.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. So... anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. And we look forward to talking to you next time. So, for now, we say, horns up!
This is Donnie V from Enough's Enough, and you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show. Horns up!
Guys, you're on live, mono e mono, with, I can't believe I'm talking to this guy. This guy, you know, Genghis and I talk about how awesome he is as a vocalist, and his band has been such an, have made such an impact on our musical lives. Mr. Donny V from Chip, from Enough's Enough. Okay. Give it up, people.
How you doing?
Hey,
how you doing, man?
Donny, how you doing, brother? Man, it's been a long time coming. We talked a few years ago at the Rock the Bayou, but we always said we were going to bring you in for a long-form interview, so thanks for taking time out of your day to join us.
My pleasure, guys.
Well, Donny, what's happening, dude? What's going on with Enough's Enough?
Well... in a week or two, we're heading over to England and doing Download at Donington and playing Liverpool and a few other shows there. And we just signed with a new booking agent out in England. Released the record out there. We still haven't released it here in the States yet. We haven't got a good enough deal. But we're lining up for iTunes and stuff. But just going out and playing. We got a huge catalog. I might be doing a Storytellers type tour.
Oh, awesome.
You know, a little more broke down, a longer set, you know, or just sit there with acoustic guitar and just sing and play, you know, some of the million songs we've got, you know.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Other than that, you know, I've just been recording some stuff on my own, and, you know, it's been a long time. It's been a long road. It's over 20 years, and, you know, it's not exactly like the world's breaking the door, beating the door down for us, you know, so... So, you know, you got to think about other things as you get older. But I still got all my hair, so I still got my pipe, so I'm still rocking, you know.
You're one of the lucky guys. I don't have hair anymore, and I'm fat.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a little chubby, but that's why I gave up all the drugs, you know.
It's either one or the other. At least when you put on the weight, you know, you're I guess you're a little bit healthier than doing a bunch of drugs, but who knows, you know.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, well, you got to sacrifice one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well, you know, not being on the drugs, man, that guarantees we're going to have you for a while.
Yeah, then there's not as many good songs, you know.
Oh, you know what? You can kind of toy with it when you're writing, and then when you go on tour, you know, go clean.
Yeah.
I guess that's the hardest part, though.
Tell that to the old lady, you know. She doesn't dig that shit. Everything's just usually a mess when they're doing that stuff anyway, so... It's been quite a while. I've mellowed out, you know. I mean, I've had little spurts here and there still, but I pretty much got it behind me, I do believe, now.
Well, congratulations, man. That's awesome. That is awesome,
thank
man.
Thank you. It was one of the hardest things to do.
Well, you know, and not to be a downer here, but, you know, seeing your brother Derek go away the way he did, I'm sure that kind of opened your eyes like, oh, shit, man, this could be me.
It was terrible. I mean, but at least Derek now, he's at peace. You know, he was always a lost soul, and he was really liked getting high. He just couldn't wake up in the morning and be content being Derek Friegel. You know, I could kind of relate. You know, we just always looked for more. You know, there's got to be more something. You know, life always seemed kind of boring. You know, it was never exciting enough, and you just got to learn to just slow down and smell the daisies and enjoy life. You know, I've got a new girlfriend that really has helped wake me up, and I finally found the girl of my dreams, you know.
Oh, congratulations,
and,
man.
And she's hot, she's young, and she's cool, and she's very supportive, and you know, I can't connect with her when I'm all high and fucked up, you know, so it's like, you know, I had to give up something, and I'm not going to give up this girl.
Well, that's awesome, dude. Congratulations, man. Yeah,
Thank you.
Something to be said about that. You know, I've been married 16 years, man, and I met the girl of my dreams, and she's supportive of me, and you know, got me on a good path. I never, you know, dabbled, you know, into the drugs or anything like that.
Yeah,
but I'm sure
that's probably why you're successful.
I've been fortunate. I got a beautiful little girl, and you know, something to be
that's
said
great.
For that. You know,
yeah, I got a 21 year old daughter.
Dude, you're not old enough for that.
Yeah, I am. Believe it or not, I am.
Oh man,
I'm an old timer.
Well, I tell you what, you got this album. It's been out, at least I bought it at Rock the Bayou, and I think that's before you guys were actually really selling it, except for maybe at the shows.
We're still not selling it, and we still haven't put it out in the States yet.
What do you think the timeline is? Is there anything? Or you said at the beginning of the interview, maybe iTunes?
Well, we probably will put it on iTunes, but if we can't get a decent enough deal for it, you know, it's you know, it's just still putting... trying to put the whole management and everything together. If we're going to do something, we're going to do it right. So now we've got a new booking agency, and it's just going to help so we can get out to work. You know, and that's what I'm trying to focusing on is placing songs with other artists and stuff. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, it sounds like something's going on over there.
I don't know, it's a fire or something. They're coming to get me. Not again. No, I just want to focus on placing songs with other artists. I just want to make some money somehow.
Well, it's a really good record, and I got to say, I'll be honest with you, I'm a huge fan, but it took me a little bit to get into it because it's a little bit raw record for you guys. And but the more you listen to it, the more this record really grows on you. Like a track like Lazy Daisy, that's an awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's got that classic and SNF sound, but with a more of a modern raw edge to it.
Well, hey, oh, Carolina, I show my love for China.
Going for, we used a good producer, the guy that played drums on it, Vinny Castaldo. We recorded in his studio, Tone Factory in Las Vegas, and he's got his finger on the pulse of, you know, basically what's happening these days and shit. And we used some modern production ideas, and there's a lot of the other Leola and Up's Enough records. We've done really low budget, you know. We do them in studios and just produce it all ourselves, and basically get raw tones to tape and mix it the best you can, but this guy kind of took it to the next level. I think sonically the songs sound really good, you know.
Oh yeah, I
don't
agree.
I don't know about the Chip songs, but
the whole CD is really cool, man. And you know, you guys had a special appearance, I guess, by Jakey Lee, and I don't remember if it was you or Chip that told me if the record took off, Jake was actually going to come out of his cave and go on tour with you guys.
Yeah, well, that's probably not going to happen. I don't think Jake's going to be doing any more live tour. He's just not into it. He just doesn't want to do it. But yeah, he came out and played guitar on the record and fattened it up, and you know, he played on four or five of the tracks. Sounded pretty good.
Since this record's been out for a while, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I guess it hadn't been out, you know, in the U.S., but...
Well, we just released it in England. It's been out in Japan for going on two-thirds of a year.
Okay, so this is still, I guess, to the major public, it's still a fairly new little record. I was wondering if you guys had already started writing any more for maybe the next project.
Well, I have. I've already started writing it. As I said, it's like I'm not sure what route I'm going with it yet. It might just, you know, I might be doing another solo record. I've only done one, and you know, I'm at that point in my life where I'd like to do something, you know, a little different, something more organic and stripped down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, not so heavy. Just something to reflect maybe my age.
Well, you know, some of the slower stuff you guys have done is good, our lighter stuff. I know there's a record I got that I guess it was a Japanese release only that you and Chip put out called Brothers that had some really cool stuff a few years back.
That was just a 7 record. That was 7. We were just released it in Japan as Brothers. We were going to try to just change the name instead of being Us Enough because we're just like, the name is, it seems like it's cursed, you know? So let's try a different name, and we went with this. We were trying Vitamin A, and then we tried Chip and Donnie, and we couldn't fool them, so.
Well, you know what? You guys are the underdogs for sure, and it still amazes me to this day that you guys never got bigger than you did.
We're not dead yet. Something could happen. You never know. I believe that somebody's going to cover one of these tunes or something, or somebody's going to throw one in a movie or something, and then we'll, I'm content with just being able to play, you know, fill clubs, you know, and, you know, make a decent living and write for some other artists and chill with my girl and, you know, just go out and play here and there and play a few gigs, you know, go out to Europe and Japan and maybe do a little storyteller's thing here acoustically. I'm content with that. You know, I don't need a whole lot.
Well, that's cool. That's yeah. Real cool, man.
It's just the art for me, you know, mostly the music. You know, I just like to write music, and I just don't need a, like I said, I don't need a whole lot, you know.
Oh, yeah, as long as you got food on the table and a roof over your head. It sounds like you're that kind of guy, you know. If I make it, great. If not, I'm pretty content where I'm at, you know, music.
Yeah, as long as you got some good arms around you, you know, a pack of cigarettes, something to eat, nice TV and a bed to fool around in.
There you go. Well, yeah. Talking about fooling around, there's another great track on this record called Playground I really dug.
Eating pussy.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding you.
Well, really, well, we need to dig into this record because there sounds like there's some hidden meanings on some of these tracks. I'm going to have to go back and really listen to the lyrics on Playground.
Yeah, it was like kind of a turning point in my life. It was like I was getting out of my old life, my old marriage and everything like that. It ended with like this Joni Lynn, that was my ex-wife, and then I got into Lazy Daisy with my new girl and Altered States and everything, you know, Playground naturally.
Oh yeah, well there you go. I mean, starting anew.
Put on the lobster bib, you know, get the whipped cream.
The lobster bib. I like that. I like. Well, you got to go in for that furry clam.
Oh, she tastes pretty good, man.
Oh, okay. I don't let my wife. I said, oh, she. I better not even go there.
You got to go home.
Oh, well, yeah. I'd be a dead man if I did that on the radio here. So,
you know Howard Stern bullshit, huh?
Oh no. If I did that, I'd be in lots of trouble. So
hey, so where's the other guy? There was supposed to be two guys.
Yeah, well, Genghis, I don't know. He pushed out, you know, and that's the sad thing here is because. You know, you're one of his favorite vocalists.
What, you get fucked up and couldn't make it in or something?
Either that, God only knows with him. We were talking to one guy, and here recently, Richard Christie from Charred Walls of the Damned, who is on the Howard Stern Show, and they had been drinking, and Genghis had actually pissed himself in a gutter. So
you're shitting me.
Well, Richard was right there with him, and Richard said, this is really embarrassing. I don't know what to do.
They mentioned it on Howard?
They haven't mentioned. I don't think they'll ever mention us. We're kind of small.
Bad.
But no, Richard's funny. I don't know if you listen to Howard too much, but he's the guy that does all the crank phone calls.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just as well that the guy didn't show up today. Then anyway, I don't want to be anybody pissing themselves.
Yeah, not a good thing. Because when we do a show, we drink.
Nothing rock and roll about that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there is. I guess there is.
Yeah.
Rock and rollers have pissed themselves. But.
Well, we drink imported beer, so some of the imported beers that we get are pretty strong, so sometimes Genghis can lose it.
Oh, man, I don't think you could drink enough beer to get that stone. That's pretty lightweight.
Yeah, he's a big guy, but yeah, he could be a lightweight when he wants to be.
He's got a small libido.
Exactly. So you said that the new songs that you're writing right now are kind of stripped back. Is it, so you're thinking when you do your next, if you do another solo record, is it going to be mainly kind of just an all acoustic thing, or do you think you'll have?
No, not all acoustic, but there's acoustic rhythms in them, you know, there's drums and electric guitar, but just not the big heavy electric guitars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
More of a, you know, more contemporary, and that can cross over different formats, you know.
Oh, that's cool. What kind of, do you have anybody lined up to play with you on it, or is that too early to?
I've been doing it all myself so far.
Oh, that's sweet. What all do you play? Yeah.
Everything.
Oh, that's awesome. So you play drums the whole nine yards, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not the best drummer, but I can do it. I can do a good enough job, you know, just for, you know, I'll probably get somebody to replay the drums, probably get Vinny Gastaldo to replay the drums again, but I mean, I played almost all the instruments on all the Nuffs Enough records. You know, I played all the guitar after Derek left. Dino was only there for three records.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We got, you know, 15 records out.
Oh, I know. Well, let me ask you this. When you guys are with your tour that you're going to be doing over in Europe, how long are you going to be over there, and how do you guys pick a set list with all the material you have?
Well, the last time we went over to Europe, we did a pretty lazy set list, and but this next time we go around, we're not doing that. We're playing a little bit of the, you know, nicer, better variety. It's hard, you know, it's hard to figure out what tunes to play. You got certain ones that everybody wants to hear, but then again, those are the boring ones that are just, you've just been played a zillion times, and it's just no heart in them, but you got to play them. So, but, you know, just go look through it and think of the cooler songs and, you know, the most melodic ones, the shorter ones, so we're not playing a bunch of long, you know, in the groove, like a 10-minute long in the groove and shit like that. I'm not going to be doing that anymore. I'd fall asleep.
Last time we talked, I had given you some props on the Question Mark record, and you weren't real favorable on that record for some reason.
No.
Can you kind of go into that?
That's just kind of a piece of shit. Chip just threw that thing together out of scraps.
Oh, really?
Laying around. Yeah, it's like I'd already left the band for a while. You know, I left the band for 7 years, and I just thought it needed a break. I didn't know he was going to go out and tour and beat that dead horse to death with that other singer. And, you know, now we got a lot of work building it back up again. I don't even know if it's possible. But, but I mean, you know, he does a lot of stuff like that. And I'm trying to, it's one of the things that bothers me about the organization, you know, it's just not a lot of communication or a lot of consideration. It has there been, you know, in the past, but you know, it is what it is, and I mean, at this point, you know, it's stupid to just keep quarreling, and so I just, you know, just try to defend myself the best I can legally, and then just, you know, we're buds when we see each other, and we go out and play.
Oh, that's cool. So is Chip still in Chicago? Do y'all, so y'all don't, but y'all don't see each other as much as you did? I know he's pretty busy doing all sorts of stuff.
Well, I just seen him Friday night. Went to our old manager Bob Brigham's wedding. He married a 23-year-old. He's 56. He went off to be a multimillionaire with Nocturne, and Herbie Herbert was there, our old manager, and it was great to talk to Herbie. Herbie lost about 150 pounds. He looks great. He looks amazing.
Oh, wow.
Smoked a lot of pot out there. I got dizzy. I couldn't. I was almost fell over. I was embarrassed. I just sat down for a while. I'm not used to smoking all that, you know, that medicinal marijuana.
Yeah, if you hadn't done it, I guess I don't know if you hadn't done it for a while or not. I'm sure it'd kind of knock you down a little bit.
I don't do it regularly. I only usually smoke when I'm around Chip. You know, you can't help it. He's just rolling and smoking 24/7. You know.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can ask you a question, and if you don't want to answer, don't answer. But I can ask you about Chip's hair. When I saw
about
him last
hair?
Time, I don't know if he cut his hair and was wearing a wig, or if it was just his hair just looked like that. When it was about two years ago.
I think it's a giant chia pet that he just put it on there with some dirt and just watered it and it grows. But, you know, it has a tendency, like when he sweats, you know, how it'll move around a little, you know, it just doesn't stick to one place. I don't know. I don't want to be held accountable for that hair. I have to disassociate myself, and I'm gonna stand with no further comment on that.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to remember what's your
guitar. I got all my own hair. It's all my own hair.
Well, yeah, yours was all natural. Yeah, I was like, look at Chip, and I was like, man, I've seen you. I don't know how many times I've seen you guys live, but Chip sums up with that hair, brother. But
well, I'm filthy rich when it comes to hair. But
he's a lot bigger than me. He could have pummeled me if I would have made him mad. We don't want that.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't pummel you. He's the nicest guy in the world.
He really is. He
might kill you with kindness. He might brown nose you to death. But that's about it.
No, he was real cool early on in our shows. He came on early on and was real cordial with us, shared some great stories about some studio stories, like some wild times you guys had with the Cheap Trick guys and stuff like that early on.
Oh, yeah. There were some wild times. You know, you can't really kiss and tell because guys get angry when you tell their secrets. Some goofy times there.
Exactly.
I know people have kissed and told a lot about my story, so...
There you go.
I've got a notorious reputation that far precedes me, and it's you don't believe everything you hear. Just remember that.
There you go.
Some things maybe might have been worse than what you hear, but a lot of it was not anywhere near as bad as what you hear.
You got to embellish it, make it interesting, right?
Yeah, I just used drugs as a writing tool, you know, but I wrote a lot. That's all.
Hey, look at how many great tunes the Beatles wrote once they started.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, name one guy that's ever been worth a shit that wasn't on the shit, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting when you, you know what, the only band, and not to change the subject off Enough's Enough, but the only band to me that's ever got cleaned up and put out a really good record was Motley Crue when they put out Dr. Feelgood. If they were truly clean.
I thought Aerosmith did pretty good, too.
Yeah, Aerosmith, yeah, I did Pump, and they did some really good records once they got clean, too. So I guess they're another, and those are the two, I guess, most notorious bands for that kind of partying and having fun. But I remember Girls, 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 I wasn't a big fan of that, but when they come out with Dr. Feelgood, I'm like, whoa. You guys should have been clean a few years ago.
Well, they were fucked up for Girls, Girls, Girls. But Dr. Feelgood, yeah, they got cleaned up, but I don't know. I heard mixed stories. You know, I heard that guys weren't completely straight as they said they were. But you know, it's not for me to say. I don't know. I didn't see it with my own eyeballs. So
that's cool. Well, let me ask you this, dude. You got all these records out. Which one would you say is probably your favorite out of the whole Enough's Enough catalog?
My favorite record? Oh, geez. I'd have to say somewhere like 10 or Paraphernalia, one of those two.
Boy, they were both really cool records, too.
Yeah, like, I mean, there was sort of like a big lump of writing there, and, you know, it was a pretty hard time in my life, pretty depressing time, and the songs reflect it. But, I mean, I just musically and listening to them, you know, I mean, I like the whole spell from 7 through 10,
mm-hmm.
You know, even Welcome to Blue Island, I like some of them. I like them all, you know, for certain reasons. I'd have to say the very first ones are my least favorite, but that's just because, you know, as a kid and young at writing, new at writing, everybody likes Strength a lot, you know, and that was a great time. I had a great time recording that, same with Animals, too. We had a really good time doing that. It was all, you know, everything was all big production and big budget and shit, so, but, musically, I have to say, you know, some of the later albums. I think I'm still getting better as a writer.
Oh, yeah.
Each record, you know?
Oh, definitely, man. Definitely. And that's what I was going to say is, you know, it's interesting to listen to, if you go back and listen to the first record and then you go all the way to the new one, Dissonance, and you just listen to see how you guys have matured over the years. It's awesome, man, because I love the old stuff, but I love the new stuff, too. So you guys have been able to evolve. you keep that underlying trademark Enough's Enough sound, but you're able to evolve with it to where you can do more things with it, you know, so you're not stagnant and you're not this, you know, oh, it's Enough's Enough, they're putting out the same record again this year, you know. That's what's cool about you guys.
Yeah, you got to grow. It's like, well, when I get to a point where I'm writing a song and it doesn't seem something like it's something new or different to me, then I just don't even finish writing the song, you know.
Oh, well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you ever go back to anything like that and say, you know, listen to it again?
I've got a lot of old demos and stuff that I did during the, like, bunch of years where I wasn't with the band. I just had, like, my little website running, the V Club, and I released, like, hundreds of things on there just in demo form, just, you know, just to the real diehard friends and fans, you know, that wanted to hear anything I was thinking of that came to mind. And I go back and I listen to those things now, and there's a few really good ideas in there, and I just, you know, work them out and use them for bits and pieces, or if I can't think of something for a new song, and it's like something from there will fit. You know, yeah, I mean, you always, it's called the library, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure,
so
for sure.
Go back
man.
In the archives.
Well, before we let you go, Donnie, as far as touring goes, I guess, are you going to wait to tour the North America until you get the album released here? Or are you guys going to hit the road at all, or are you just going to kind of stay and write and see what happens?
North America, we're looking still at looking for a new agency and just get set up with some proper bands, you know, maybe. You know, I don't know, like the Gin Blossoms or something like that, or maybe Kip Winger or something. And as I said, I was thinking about going out and doing, like, you know, an acoustic storytellers type tour.
I'd love to see that, dude.
But just maybe one other guy that could do some harmonies and play a little percussion or something and bang out, you know, a couple hours of good music, you know. But if you want to make money, it's just not really feasible in the States. We got to go to Japan or Europe. That's where we make a little bit of a living,
well,
as far as touring goes. But, you know, I mean, I won't rule anything out. If they call me and say, hey, this is going on, and you know, it looks pretty good, and numbers look good, I'm gone. I'm on the bus.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. That's awesome. I'd love to see you guys live again. It's always a treat seeing you guys.
We'll be around.
Well, cool. Well, guys, we want to tell you to check out Dissonance. You're going to have to find it in Japan or now in Europe, or I'm sure you can get it from the Enough's Enough website. So check that record out. It's really cool. And Donnie, before we let you go, is there anything you'd like to tell the fans?
For the fans, the people that have stuck with us, and they're I don't even like to call them fans. I call them more of friends because we've met them all, and they've been there through the years, and they always let me know how much they appreciate the music and sympathize with, you know, all the tribulations that this band has gone through, and it's just, you know, just to love all you guys and thanks a lot for everything, and it's the reason to keep churning them out, you know. It certainly isn't for money.
Well, I definitely want to tell everybody out there, I've met Donnie. And the guy was so kind to me, took a lot of time to talk to me, didn't know who the hell I was, and then went back, and when I bought their CD at their table there, they were signing CDs, he remembered my name, said, hey man, how you doing, you look tired. I was just a very cordial, great guy, and that's why we definitely wanted to bring you on, Donnie. So we want to thank you for coming on the Genghis and Ragman Show on therighttorock.com, and we want to wish you the best of luck, brother.
My pleasure, bud.
To a painting in has been Genghis
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, have lent us 13 to finish the show. So what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.